This is the Team Builders Podcast, building better teams.
It starts off with forming the team, that ropes into storming the team together, then normalising it, and then performing. And those four steps for a business, if they follow those steps, will emulate how a sporting team finds ultimate performance.
This is the Team Builders Podcast with Stephen Haseley, Jerry Crowley and Jonathan Haseley.
Hello and welcome to the Team Builders Podcast. This is the podcast where you're going to hear insights from what makes a great team, in-depth interviews from top business leaders in the UK, as well as from some of our wonderful team building partners that we work with around the world. Now, this episode today, we're talking all about our favourite teams. They could be sports teams, business teams, fictional or non-fictional. We're here to hear and talk all about it. So I'm going to open it up with my two co-directors today. I have Stephen and Jerry. Boys, how are we getting on?
Yes, Jonathan, nice to be here again around the table.
Good to see you again, Jonathan and Jerry.
So I'm going to go straight in with our first question, gents. What is your favourite team and why? And like I said, it can be from anywhere, anything you've ever thought of. Stephen, I'm going to come to you first.
Jonathan, I was hugely impressed by the performance of the Women's Olympic Curling team in Beijing. They were under phenomenal pressure coming from Scotland and delivering a great result in Beijing with the only gold medal for Britain. Again, I thought that their performance was great throughout. They had a dip in the middle, but Eve Muirhead brought the team together in a fantastic way to be able to clinch gold and be able to come back and celebrate, not just with all the Scottish fans and supporters, but for all the people throughout the UK with such a tremendous performance.
What an answer. Good man, Stephen. Thank you very much, Jerry. That's a lot to live up to, mate.
That's a great question, Jonathan. First comes to mind, as always, for me, would be football. However, I'm quietly thinking here carefully because it's an important question to try and pin on an answer. So I reckon for me, it's the Red Bull F1 pit crew specifically, as nice. Opposed to maybe the whole team. And I think what really shines out for them is you'll see them making a blunder of like a 25 second stop instead of a 4.2 second. And they're all around the person that made that mistake, making him or her feel good about themselves. And then they're out ready to go. And apparently, and I've looked it up, they train 5 days a week all of the time on how to get it right. So I think that's a tremendous attribute to that particular team of people.
Absolutely. For me, there's a lot. I love sports myself and I have a huge admiration for lots of different sport teams around the world. I'm a massive Liverpool fan, so always difficult for me to avoid saying them as my answer, especially with some of the successes that they've had in recent years. However, I'm going to go with, it's a bit of a nostalgic thing, but my favourite team is going to be the Chicago Bulls of the early 90s.
Nice.
And the reason why I say it, listen in, at the time, Michael Jordan was the world superstar, the greatest player to ever play the game, still is, I'm sure, for many people. But if you get a chance to watch the recent Netflix documentary, it talks so much more about the team around him and how they built a group of individuals to be a fantastic team and all the things that they aspired and achieved together. And when you look back, it really feels like, you know, it was only all about one man, Michael Jordan, but without the rest of the team around him, they would have never achieved what they did. And that's been an amazing thing, I think. So check that out if you get a chance.
Dennis Rodman was in that team.
Yeah, that's right. Scottie Pippen, yeah, some absolute legends. And they all pulled in their own individual elements. And I think that's what helped. And even Michael Jordan still says that's what helped him to become who he became. Yeah. And I really love that for sure. Okay, great. Good answers. And
I got one quick question for you. I wonder how, in particular, the F1, how they manage the Verstappen driver versus pit stop versus mechanic versus strategist, like to get all that and still be together at the end. You know, just in that, it's a big pull to the team to have so many departments.
Yeah, oh, definitely.
You know, sometimes we go and we work with many teams, but rarely do you see the entire unity of the business in one room and how they can achieve, you know, pure alignment, I think.
So yeah, for sure.
A bit like your Chicago Bulls, you know. You saw their manager, their handle Rodman. Crazy.
Absolutely, yeah. And I think it's a great thing that when you get to, you know, listen and to see that play out on the world stage as well. You have to remember that, you know, the people that we have the great pleasure of working with, you know, they generally do it internally. And yes, they have to focus on profitability and, you know, shareholders and all those things.
And money, because I guess he was paid way more than the other team members.
Michael Jordan,
how did
they
manage that teamwork?
But yeah, I think when it's played out on the stage in front of the world, everyone watched on TV, that's even more intense, as you were saying about F1 teams and sports teams and et cetera.
Yeah, and the curlers, I guess, it's not about money for them.
No, and I think even for Michael Jordan, even though it was his job, I still think the love of the game and the love of the team and the love of the physicality and the winning, came through and still comes through these days when he talks about it and reflects back on it, as hopefully all the other teams as well. They're not just there just for the money on the short, medium or long term. They're also there for the love of the game itself. And the rewards that come from it are just, I guess, a huge bonus for them.
So listen, that leads me on to my next wee thought around team building in particular, and you know, the teams that we've talked about today, and how some team building in sport might relate through to different team building in business. And you know, we have had the pleasure of working with some sports teams over the years and see what they do. And you'll often read about when people are preparing for World Cups and Olympics and all the type of things that they go through. So any thoughts around how team building in sport can relate and link with team building business, Stephen?
I think for me, a huge motivator for me is the Olympic athlete James Cracknell, who has performed over many years as an elite rower and also as an explorer throughout the world. And one of the most common principles, or simple principles, that he addressed was, does it make the boat go faster? Which is just doing, being focused on certain things and being so committed to it that everything boils down to just one thing for them. Does it make the boat go faster? And I guess there's no better example than rowing to show how a team can work together successfully towards one common vision with shared values. And obviously, again, the huge commitment that those boys and girls put into their sport that can have huge benefits for them in their extended life beyond the sport as well.
Businesses need to win, don't they? They need to win and handle all the personalities within the team, and that's reflective of a sports team. They need to win, ultimately, to bring success, to bring finance, to bring new players. So businesses normally have a strategy in place, and then they practice and form that strategy and then grow it to success. And teams are the same, you know. So within business, they use some theorists. There's a theorist called Tuchman, and he developed a high-performing team theoretical flow. I think sports and businesses both utilise this. However, I think it's more visible in sport, believe it or not, than in business. People don't see it like that, but it starts off with forming the team, that ropes into storming the team together, then normalizing it, and then performing. And those four steps for a business, if they follow those steps, will emulate how a sporting team finds ultimate performance. And then along that ladder, things knock you off. You get a new transfer into your sports team, just like you get a transfer into your business, and that knocks you down from performing perhaps back to forming a new team, or storming really means just getting to know the people and their role. So in a football team, you know, what's your role in that team? When do you play? Do you score? Do you not? Do you pass? Do you not? So I think that's a good analogy to help businesses relate back to sporting teams.
Yeah, no, for sure. And I think, you know, something that I'd like to touch on in a little short while around culture and how you create culture within a team, within a business. And, you know, that all fits into what you're talking about there, and probably no more difficult in a sports team than when you have all these personalities and skills and, you know, things that they bring to the table, and how you can bring that around.
Yeah, it's got to be I think personality's got to be up there, one of the toughest things to get your team right with, whether it be business or sport or whatever team you're in.
So another thing I'd like to think about, some of the best things, tips that we have perhaps heard over the years of working with enormous amount of clients that we have done, things that you have identified or noticed about how they have gone about building their teams, and I guess what they come to us and look for whenever we help them build their teams. Any thoughts around that, Stephen?
Many years ago, I did an event in Northern Ireland for a client. It was a finance client who dealt with the finances of his own customers. And at the end of the session, when everybody was massively pumped up, he said to everyone in the audience, OK, now for next year, I want to put in extra effort. And cleverly, he said, can you give me 100% extra effort? And nobody cheered. So he said, OK, I don't want 100% extra effort. I don't even want 50% extra effort. I don't even want 20% extra effort. I mean, right down to an extra 5% effort. And that got a huge cheer from the audience. And I thought, what a clever way to present that you want to have an extra 5%. You know, the value to that company was enormous, but everybody thought in that room that they'd give an extra 5%. Not 100%, which is probably unrealistic, but 5% was achievable to stretch themselves, but to be able to do more for the company and provide better circumstances for the company and for themselves as individuals. So I thought it was a clever way of reframing a situation, to ask for more, but what was able to stretch their comfort zone, but not break it.
Absolutely. Jerry, I've heard you tell a great story to many clients about the Irish rugby team.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's a perfect one for this one. So fire it out there.
I was a big rugby fan, big Irish rugby fan, in case you can't notice the accent. And we've never beaten the All Blacks. The All Blacks, I think this might be now 5 years ago, maybe six. Mm. The All Blacks came to Dublin, and to beat them in Dublin was the ultimate goal. And I was sitting in my living room. There was 4 or 5 points in it. Ireland was on the push. All they needed was to convert a try, and pretty much All Blacks were put to bed. And the ball was hit. They come in, big clash of heads. They have a wee ruck, and they're getting ready for their scrum. and the scrum half, but he bent down to get ready for the ball, and he had your big line of backs, and up comes Sexton to the back row, gets down on his hands and knees, and he digs the muck out of his players' boots to give them that edge so that they could push. And I thought, I was watching it, and I said to my son, that's teamwork, son. If you can get down in the dirt and scrape the mud from your teammate's shoe and not even ask for anything. And brilliantly, they went on to push through, score that try, and Ireland became victorious. And I don't think we've lost to them since. So,
yeah.
There's an omen.
That's the key.
Yeah.
Superb. Love that story. Yeah. And definitely connects with so many people when I hear you tell it to our clients about what true teamwork is and the realization that, you know, we can all do something for somebody in our organisation.
Yeah, and get nothing back.
Okay, I already touched a little bit about culture and creating culture and how that comes about. And I know we've talked a little bit about that in sports teams. Do you think that, you know, that comes about organically as teams get together? Or do you really feel that teams, whether that be sports teams or businesses, have to put a lot of effort into, you know, creating and manifesting their own culture to bring something that they want to achieve?
I think that they have to manifest that, and I think a big part of that is the vision and the values, which then is represented by the culture of the team. And I think that with any team doing something new for the first time, it's always going to be difficult and it's always going to be challenging, and there's always going to be friction between players that are in the team and the overall dynamics of the company, especially when they're trying something for new. As you know, I'm going to introduce some stunts in there. And my favourite story about Tom Cruise is he wanted to perform a stunt for Ghost Protocol off the Bourge, and he asked his safety officer how he could go about doing a phenomenal stunt off the Bourge. And the safety officer said it was absolutely impossible, could not be done. So Tom Cruise went with his vision, went with his dream, and sacked that safety officer, brought on board a new one, and fulfilled his own vision and his dream. And that was in the time when Mission Impossible was really hitting stride 4 or 5. And again, he's reaped the benefits of that and sticking to his own guns and delivering something which was phenomenal and not compromising. And I think if teams can reflect on that, it's never going to be easy, but you should stick to the courage of your own conviction, work with a team who want to be there and fulfill all your ambitions, whatever they may be.
Totally agree on that. And I do think they have to create it, without a shadow of a doubt, because you just don't get it, because there's too many different people in your business. Even if it's just 4 people in your business, there's 4 different people. I think you have to have the guideline of what they get involved with and, you know, get them into your way of thinking in that moment when they're at work. We often get asked, but I'm not that type of person. The business wants you to be the type of person they want during your work. If you can live with that, we say 80% of the time, you're in the right fit. But quite often, people are only 40% involved, and it doesn't bode well for trying to create a good culture in your business.
I think for me personally, again, having worked with so many amazing organisations over all these years, events and the teams that always stick with you are the teams where a lot of effort has been put in to creating a really strong, cohesive culture that everyone can buy into. You know, I think about some of our whiskey industry clients that we have here in Scotland. International Beverage are a great example. A small organisation in comparison to some of the massive whiskey companies around the world. But every time we have the pleasure of working with them, you can see that from the guy that opens the gate at security to the person that's the, you know, tasting the whiskey to the person that's selling the whiskey, they all enormously buy into their brand, their shared values, their beliefs, and it truly is a one team feel in that organisation. And, you know, there's lots of organisations that we work with that have that, but those are definitely the ones that stick with me. People that have tried and continue to try to develop a culture of togetherness and willingness and try to find the right people that fit in with that. So they always inspire me.
I think there's also a flip side to that as well in those companies who don't believe they need to have team building or have any cohesive team, and they lose their vision, they lose their values, they lose their people, and before long they lose themselves. And, you know, that's a very sad reflection sometimes, to work with a client many, many years ago and then find out that client has been gone to the curb perhaps, or being taken over because they haven't reinvested back into their people. They've just assumed that whatever they have done last year will be successful this year. And I think it's always a challenge to employ a team of people who will look at new opportunities and take those opportunities willingly.
We actually see culture firsthand, don't we? Because one day you could be working with Americas, next with Asian, next with European, and the culture is so vast and different, but yet when they meet for that common purpose, it works. It works for them because they can all relate to what the business wants. Keeping that at the forefront of your business helps the team bind into that.
I think, you know, one thing as well we should touch on is the fact that, you know, culture is shifting in that there's a lot of working from home, working remotely. It's becoming more and more of a challenge for organisations to have a single cohesive culture whenever not all of their employees are in the same building, same time, same place, or, you know, headquarters, whatever it might be. So there's definitely been that shift to more remote working or working from home. Do you think that that's something that organisations are finding difficult? And do you think that's something that, as team builders like ourselves, that we'll continue to try and help them develop and work with as we move forward in these coming months and years?
Okay, I think it is possible to change our team building product, if you like, to accommodate the remote working environment. Technology is superb, and also the technology that we use fits around the world. You know, using URL, majority of people can get to an internet connection. And I think with the small leaps we've made in the 18 months we've just passed, the future is really bright for team building remotely and live, of course, and then joining them together could be the perfect scenario.
Awesome. Thanks very much, boys. Great day. Thoroughly enjoyed talking about our favourite teams, favourite sport teams, and what makes us tick and what makes those teams tick. If you have enjoyed our episode and you'd like to find out more, please be sure to check out our website, teamchallenge-company.co.uk. Lots more insights and resources on the variety of team building that we offer. And thanks very much, gents. It's great to have you. Thanks again, and we'll see you boys soon.
Thanks, Jonathan.
Thanks,